upon us that you saw it fitting that we should be here. It is not by chance, but it is by your divine appointment that we are here, Lord. And Lord, may we get that which you have ordained for us to get from this. For we have gathered around your Son, Jesus Christ. For we adore him. He is our life, our resurrection. In his name I pray, amen. 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 So, I believe the passage was very clear. It's as my uncle always said in Afrikaans, that is van selfsprekend. It speaks for itself, right? But we will go through it together. And yes, it's a short sermon for our visitors so that we may discuss further together in our community groups. So it starts with saying, but before I go there, there's this wise saying that I heard somewhere. I think I was in a class, but it said this: if there are two dogs in a fight, the one who will win the fight is the one that is being fed, right? The dog that you feed in the fight is the dog that will win the fight, because that dog is the one that will grow stronger than the other one. That's the point of it. So my question to you is, what are you giving yourselves to daily? What are you feeding daily? And our passage today speaks of the flesh and the spirit. Understand? What are you feeding your life to daily? Are you feeding it to your flesh, or is it to the spirit? That is the question that hangs, and I want us to reflect on that question. So, but this is Paul's encouragement. This is now Paul telling us what he suggests, what he prescribes, and what he desires for us. He says in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So, as people walking on this earth, we are all descendants of Adam. We all come from Adam. And because of that, we have a nature that is born out of Adam, meaning that we have a sinful nature. When Paul uses the word flesh, he means sinful nature, right? Do not give in to your sinful nature, but be led by the Spirit. When he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not give in to your sinful nature. That is the point that he's making in verse 16. He's saying that we should yield our lives daily to the Spirit. And automatically, what automatically happens with that is that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Sorry, I have my voice is... For this is the reality in each believer as we are seated here, that there is a war within us. This is a serious battle. A fierce battle is going on within us. It's the battle between your sinful nature, the nature that you got from Adam, and this new nature that was birthed in you by Christ. These two forces are at war within you. But Paul says, and we have no reason to be discouraged. Paul says, if we walk by the Spirit, if we daily yield to the Spirit, then it means that the sinful desires, the sinful nature, the nature of Adam, the old nature, automatically loses. And if you give yourself daily, the sinful nature weakens. It's more like the dog that's not being fed that grows weak. But it's not a good illustration. But it makes the point. It makes my point come across. That if we give ourselves daily to the Spirit of God, what does it mean to give ourselves to the Spirit of God? It means that He is the one that governs our life. He governs our thoughts. He governs how we make decisions. He governs how we respond in different situations, different circumstances. Whether I am in the wrong or someone has wronged me. And how do we come to know the work of the Spirit? It is through his revelation. How has he revealed himself? Jesus said that anyone who believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. And there is a reference to the Spirit of God, right? That the Spirit of God will breathe life through you as a believer. That upon believing and receiving Christ in your heart, you receive his Spirit. And each one of you, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have received the Spirit of God as a guarantee, as it is put in the book of Ephesians. And each of you have experienced him in different ways. Now, how do we see whether we're walking in the Spirit? How do we know that we are daily yielding to him? How does our life show that? Or what shows that that's not the case? What is the evidence that you are walking in your flesh? It's not something abstract only in your mind, something mystical. What we see from Galatians chapter 5 from 16 onwards, we see that there are clear things that can point out whether you are walking by the Spirit. Things that we can point out, things that can be discerned, understand, objectively. It's not a subjective thing. It's things that we can objectively discern. And Paul points it out from verse 19. Now, if you are walking, now it says, if you walk by the flesh, these are the things that follow. From verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Like, it is clear, it can be seen, right? Sorry. Sexual immorality. Okay, in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. It can be clearly seen. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. These are sexual sins. So they cover the whole scope of sexual sin. Whether it's idolatry, you understand, having intimacy with someone who is not your marital partner, fornication, having sex before marriage, or any other, whether it's pornography to whatever, it all falls under that category. Sexual immorality, right? So those things will be evident in your daily life, that you are giving yourself off to them daily. These are the works of the flesh. Those are the sexual sins. And then there is the refusal to worship God. This is part of the sinful nature. The things that the sinful nature are drawn to, right? So the first one is sexual sins. The second one is refusal to worship God. Those ones are in verse 20, idolatry. That is turning something else into a god. For the people in Paul's time, it was idols. They would carve images and bow before those things. Today, it will be something different. What is worship? Worship is something that you give your time to. You give your heart to. That thing becomes preeminence. That thing governs your day-to-day life, sort of. So that idolatry, sorcery, enmity. Those two. Understand? So sorcery is this worshiping of evil. Using evil, you understand, those powers, turning to those things instead of God, right? So those are the sins of refusal to worship God. And then there are the social sins that it can be seen in our social circles. the works of the flesh that can be seen in our social circles. It is enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Understand? Rivalries, dissensions, divisions. These are the works of the flesh within communal life. You can see that there are people that are there to bring divisions, break down families, cause enmity, strife, jealousy. And what is the end result of all this? Paul says, now let me just read through the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Thank you very much. Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. So he makes a list, right? And then he says, and things like this, like, it does not end here. Like, the list is much more broader, right? But he says that these things, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's an eschatological warning. There's an end-time warning that there is judgment coming on those who live for these things, who daily give themselves to these things, to lying, to cheating, to sexual immorality, to divisions, to anger, to strife. That those who live in the flesh, there is an eschatology, there's a judgment that's coming. And the judgment is, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now there is this eternal separation from God. But I believe different of our church. But I believe different of this community, for I've experienced the love of God here. I've experienced what we're going to read, which follows. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Those who daily, in their striving against their sinful nature, understand? Were striving against the temptation to drink, the temptation to lie, the temptation to go up behind the backs of others. In this daily strife that we are, as we give ourselves to the Spirit of Christ. And what are the ways that we can give ourselves to Him? It is when we humble ourselves. Jesus said, to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven. Those who humble themselves like children. If you don't humble yourself like a child, what is a child? A child is one that is dependent. And as Paul said, that if we walk by the Spirit, then it is something that automatically happens, that we more and more achieve victory over the flesh. And this is the fruit that comes forth, that you are more and more growing in love. Love is this beautiful word that says, what is love? Jesus is love. And what does that mean? It's self-giving. It's selfless. Places the interest of others before that of your own. But how do we see that in Jesus? Jesus gave himself up. Did he need to? He did not need to. He knew that there would be those that would accept him. And he knew that there would be those that would not accept him. But regardless of that, he still gave. And this will be growing in you. The more, as you give yourself to the work of the Spirit, the more you grow in love. The more love grows in you. Joy becomes a deep part of you. That this joy is not happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy runs deeper. That even when things don't work out, even when things are countering you at whatever level, that the joy of the Lord is the one that holds you. So people would be surprised as to what this person doesn't make sense. You are supposed to be downtrodden and depressed, but grace is the smile that beams throughout the whole room. Because it is the joy, that the spirit that works joy in the heart as a form of strength against the pulling of the works of the flesh. We have patience. Those people are patient. These things intertwine, right? All these things are like a characteristic of love, right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? That's why it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits of the Spirit, but it's one fruit that is filled with all these wonderful characteristics, because it comes from the one Spirit who is united to the one God, and we take part in Him. The more we commune with the Spirit, the more we become part. We sort of take part in who God is. Understand? In His love, His joy, His peace, His patience. Who is the most patient being? It is God. And then he wants you to become part of Him. The goal of the Christian life is to be like Christ. That brings glory to God. Because we are to be like Him. In the very beginning, in Genesis, it said that He created male and female. In the image of God, He created them. What does that mean? So that we may reflect Him. And it is only by yielding to the Spirit of God, that we will rightly reflect Him, that we will be true image bearers. Because it is the Spirit of God that restores God's image in us. And this is the end result of those who walk by the Spirit. It says in verse 23. Against such, there is no law, right? There is no condemnation. For the law was brought up to expose sin and to condemn it. If you walk in the flesh, the law has counted you guilty. You are guilty and therefore deserving of death, and you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But if you walk in the Spirit, the law has lost its power. For there is no longer guilt on you. Why? For Christ Jesus has paid the price. And the Spirit of God is a seal. It's a guarantee. It's a seal that guarantees that, yes, you are mine. You belong to the fold. You are part of the kingdom of God. But how do we know that? How do we know that you are part of the kingdom of God? You do not give yourself to the desires of the flesh. And you do not give yourself daily. Someone told me that the Christian life is this. It's not without sin. It's not that you are perfect, because we are living in this reality, the two realities, like I said, the old nature and the new nature that are at war within you. But the difference between an unbeliever and a believer is that an unbeliever sins and there is nothing wrong with it. He does not even know that he is sinning, because he is living sin. For the believer, when he does something that is wrong, the Spirit of God convicts him and he beats himself and said, "No, Lord, I do not want to continue like this. Help me." A true believer is one that turns to God in repentance. He turns to God. He turns to God. And that is yielding to the Spirit when we continually turn to Him. It's a daily turning to Him. It's a daily yielding to Him. So now as I close, my question stands. What are you giving yourself to daily? Who are you giving yourself to daily? And if you've not come to that place and to that point of placing your faith and your trust in Christ, there is no other way. There is no other way in which you can achieve victory over sin, victory over the pulling of the flesh, victory over condemnation, the judgment that is coming. It is only by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that belongs to those who have put their faith in Jesus. So what are you giving yourself to? Amen.